As we come to hear our reading this morning from the Gospel of Mark, I'd like you to keep in mind the opening hymn we sang today, Joy to the World. It's a hymn that we normally associate with Christmas and Christmas only, but it's also an Advent hymn. It's a hymn that sings of the joy in which we anticipate the arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not just as a babe in Bethlehem and his nativity, but that second coming as well, that coming into our lives every day, the advent of Christ in our lives, the advent of God coming to us. Please stand as you are able and attend to the reading of Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him on how to destroy him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we come to you with all of who we are, our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Bless now our meditation upon and reflection upon your word, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Come forward. Jesus said these words to the man with a withered hand in the synagogue. Come forward. The verb that we translate as come from the Greek is found in the present imperative, active, second person, singular. In other words, Jesus commands the man with the withered hand to come to him. It's a command to him and him alone. And he commands him to move towards Jesus, to come and present himself before Jesus. It's not a request on Jesus' part. He's demanding the man to come forward. And we have to remember is who is making this demand? The one who is making this demand, we learn in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who we learn in the first synagogue encounter, teaches with authority. And so with authority, Jesus commands the man with the withered hand to present himself to him. He commands him to be there. Now, what's interesting in our passage is, as I've referred to, the interesting piece is this text has all sorts of implications in it because it is the second encounter with Jesus in a synagogue. The first encounter with Jesus in a synagogue happened back 46 verses ago when Jesus was preaching, teaching in a local synagogue with authority. And as he is preaching or teaching with authority in that synagogue, a man with unclean spirits came or was present there And through the power of Jesus' teaching, the unclean spirits were cast out. Today we have a man again in a synagogue with a withered hand. Now we don't know how that hand became withered. We know that with that type of disability, that he would probably not be able to work in the world of the day. He was limited in what he could do, obviously, because it was a very physical world, very manual labor type of world. And so we have the end, or another passage, what we have here is a bookend with another bookend of Sabbath gatherings with Jesus on the Sabbath. What's interesting is what takes place in the 46 verses between Jesus' first Sabbath gathering and the casting out of unclean spirits and this second Sabbath gathering and the healing of a man with a withered hand. What's interesting in all of this is in those 46 verses, we see Jesus preaching and teaching and healing, not just in the synagogues, but also in the countryside, outside of the city, out in and amongst the territory, other smaller villages, other country areas, countryside. Jesus is preaching and teaching and healing. And we hear that because he's healed people with a high fever, with leprosy. He's cast out unclean spirits and demons. He has healed somebody of paralysis. Not only that, at one point, he's accused of eating with tax collectors and sinners. And all of this is taking place between two synagogue gatherings in the territory or the region of Galilee. It's not even in Jerusalem where the temple's at, where you'd expect to find God, but it's out in Gentile territory, out where there are probably less Jews and where you'll find more Jews. Jesus is out proclaiming the message in and amongst all the world, all people gathered together, from synagogue to country to houses to back to the synagogue. And in the process of all of this, in looking through all of these things, you will read again, and I ask you to go back and read the first three chapters of Mark. I think you'll see that Jesus, the Son of God, comes to the people. Jesus, the Son of God, comes to the people. In other words, God comes. God comes. And that's really what Advent is all about. Advent is a reminder to you and to I that God comes to us. We might go out seeking God, but God continually is coming to you and to me. Advent, when we look at the journey to Bethlehem, we're looking at our journey, our seeking of God coming to us. Bethlehem holds the nativity, the birth of the Christ child. And it might be filled with all sorts of nostalgia for us this time of year, but it's a reminder that God comes to us. And it's not just at that time that God comes to us. Advent is also a time that reminds us that God will come again. And that God has come again as God has given his Holy Spirit to us to live in the world in which we live. It's a reminder to us that God is constantly coming to us. And that's what we sing about in our opening hymn, in Joy to the World. If you were to pull up, and you can do that, pull up the verses to Joy to the World or sing it in your head again or go back and listen to it again. But Joy to the World is a reminder to us that it's us singing about God coming to us. Just as a quick reminder, the opening of the verses, I'll go through them real quick, is joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. We sing joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men, women, creation sing the song. We read, let men their songs employ while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sound of joy. All of creation sings at the advent of the Lord's coming. We go on to sing then, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. God comes to us in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our difficulties. That's what we read in the first three chapters. God in Jesus coming to us. And then finally, our last verse is, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness in the wonders of his love. Joy to the world is a hymn, is a song of God coming to us, of God meeting us where we are at and bringing God's blessings into our lives and showing us the way. Jesus is coming. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is coming. Knowing that he is coming, how do you respond? How do you respond to the coming of our Lord and Savior? As Jesus comes, one way to think about it is a come to Jesus meeting. And what do you expect to happen at that come to Jesus meeting? There are a couple of different ways to think about our coming to Jesus. And our scripture reading lends itself to that. And I want to point to three possibilities, three types of people, which their responses may be one of our responses at any given day when we come to meet Jesus. When we come to meet Jesus on the Sabbath, when we come to meet Jesus at church. So let me begin with asking a question or a couple of questions. Do you come to church or do you go to church? The verbs come and go are very similar and they're like bring and take. Like bring, the verb come usually indicates a movement toward the speaker who's present and that speaker's whereabouts. And like take, the verb go usually indicates movement away from the speaker. So when we talk about coming to Jesus, our movement is to come to Jesus. When we talk about going to Jesus, it's normally, usually, about moving away from Jesus. So as an individual in Scripture, are you coming to God or are you going to God? Are we doing this as how are we doing this as individuals, as a congregation, as the people of God? Now, with that in mind, we know that people come to church for a variety of reasons. And three of those reasons can be found in three types of the people that are present today in our scripture reading. There are those who come to encounter God when they come to church. Now, church, you have to understand, I'm using very loosely here, it's the gathering of the body of Christ. And our gatherings take place in person, in sanctuaries, in outdoor services, in prayer walks and all that, as well as online. Those are all coming to God, okay? So there are those who come to encounter God. This is the man with the withered hand. He could be doing all sorts of things. He could be sitting at the city gate begging. He could be anywhere else trying to gather enough funds to take care of his withered hand to be able to provide for himself. But where we find him this morning is he comes on the Sabbath to the synagogue. He comes to where he can encounter God. Or he knows at least he will encounter God because of the gathering and the fellowship, the singing of psalms, the singing of hymns, the reading of scripture, the reflection upon scripture. He knows that he is going to encounter God, and that's what he's coming to do. He's coming to the synagogue to encounter God. Because through those elements of gathering together, I believe he thinks he's going to encounter God. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know how his life's going to be changed. You know, we don't know what his expectations are as he comes, but he knows, or he hopes, he's going to encounter our Lord there. And miracle of miracles, Jesus commands him, calls him, come forward, come to me. And the man comes forward, and Jesus asks a very legalistic question, which is our next group of people, about the legalness of, is it legal to do good or evil on the Sabbath? Is it good to heal or not heal on the Sabbath? And in answer to the question, he asks the man to stretch out his hand, and his hand is healed. He comes to encounter God, and the unexpected takes place. The second people that come have a tendency to be along more the legalistic side of things, to whom the question that Jesus asks is directed. But what we find is he approaches them. This is the religious leaders. This is the Pharisees. And why are the Pharisees? Why did they come to church? Or did they go to church? Did they come to synagogue, or did they go to synagogue? What the Pharisees did while they were there, if we read the opening passage again and we look at what's taking place there, they weren't necessarily there to encounter God. They didn't come necessarily to come to God. Rather, they came there to go to God. Their movement and their actions is away from God. And how do we know that? We know that because they came watching Jesus. They were watching Jesus, waiting for him to make a mistake, waiting for him to do something that they can do what? Bring charges, find a legal cause, find a reason to remove Jesus or charge Jesus with something in which he can be thrown out, be removed, or be put to death. They were looking for a reason to do away with Jesus. They were looking for a reason to destroy Jesus. Their intent wasn't to encounter God. Their intent was instead to apply the law that would be ineffective for the people. So much so that they actually, when they left, conspired with the Herodians, a political party, followers of the law, for power and control. The Pharisees and even the Herodians didn't care about the people necessarily, or even more so for God. They cared more about how they can find and uphold their traditions, what needed to be done so that they could remain in power and control. Their sole goal was themselves and not God. And that can be true today too. We have people that come to church that are really going to church that are really seeking to retain their own positions of power and control. The final group that we have are those who come to represent God. And that's Jesus. Jesus is at the synagogue on the Sabbath representing, teaching the way of the Lord, the way of God, the way life needs to be led. He's trying to live in accordance to God's will, which he does because he is the Son of God. He came to meet people where they are at. God comes to us. And that's what Jesus does as a person in the synagogue in Mark. He came to be in and among us, not just them, but us. And it continues today. God is present in our lives. We just need to take a pause and recognize where we see God coming to you and to me. And Jesus says, not only to the man with the withered hand, not only to previous generations before us, he says it to you and to me, come forward. Come to me. The question is do we respond to that call? God comes to us. God comes to us, and we see it in the birth of a child. We see it in the 46 verses prior, in between the synagogue events, where he comes and heals people of all sorts of ailments, from physical to spiritual. God comes to you and me and says to us, come forward. How do you respond? To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.